Come on, come on, come on. How's everybody doing today? Everybody good? Does anybody identify with any of those hashtags at all when you're dating days? Y'all got great dating lives. Y'all are lives. We need to get those from online. We need to get some of y'all's. We need some of y'all's, which would make it even better, personal. Hey, listen, we are so excited that you are in the house today. Can we give it up for everybody watching online right now? Glad you're watching. Hope God speaks to you, ministers to you. Hey, if this is your first time, we're just one campus. We got a campus in Jasper. We got a campus in Arab doing the exact same thing that we are doing right now, talking about the exact same subject, preaching the same message. And so at the same time we are doing church, they're doing church also. So we are one church, three campuses. And so I'm so glad and excited about what God is doing at all three places. Listen, last week, we started a series called Relation Slips, and we talked about church relationships. And this week, we are going to dive into what you probably saw right there, got a hunch. We're going to talk about dating. We're going to talk about living single and dating and what that looks like. Now listen, what I learned, I was a singles minister for about 5 years or so. And one thing that I learned was that there's a lot of times we preach to married couples on a regular basis. We do marriage conferences, and we do lots of marriage things for married couples, but very rarely do we do a lot of stuff for singles inside the church. And the thing that I discovered while I was in singles ministry is that, to be honest with you, the majority of our churches are single, if you really understand. I mean, majority of our churches are single, so why not talk to a large majority of people? Now listen, if you're here today, and you're married, I would challenge you not to tune me out, all right? Because I still think that we should still be dating our spouse some way, form, or fashion, okay? I think if you've got a teachable spirit, everybody in the house can learn something, okay? But I want to speak directly, hopefully you'll listen to me, to singles. And I've got a lot of experience in it because I have done ministry for 5 to 6 years with singles in college ministry and absolutely loved it. And listen, didn't get married till I was 29, so I got life experience of what it's like to be single, okay? So I know a lot of you think I'm already 29, like that was last year. No, Ole of Ole works wonders, I've told y'all. Listen, so we're going to talk about dating relationships. Now, I really believe that all of us have had relationships that tend to slip in areas, but they really don't have to, okay? Now, last week, we talked about all godly relationships, whether it's marriage, whether it's dating, whether it's friendship, whether it's church relationships, whether it's coworkers, whatever. All godly relationships will have these four things. They will connect with others, they will protect, they will pray, and they will push you to be better, all right? Everybody needs a godly relationship that will connect with you, that will protect you, that will pray for you, and that will push you, okay? So that's what we're talking about. So we're talking about dating today, and hopefully when you're looking for somebody in your life who is, might be a future spouse, hopefully and prayerfully you're looking for somebody that you can connect with, protect, pray, and push, okay? Now listen, before we dive in, when you think about dating, right, you think about falling in love. How many of you in the house have got like a significant love song that you have with your significant other? Throw your hands up in the air. Just be honest in the house. Now let me ask you this. Now there's a lot of guys in the house. I know we from Coleman County, man. We cool, right? We ain't gonna do this. But how many in the house would be courageous enough to say, man, I like love songs? Throw your hands up in the air. I need ladies to throw your hands up to all the guys. Like anybody in the house, if you like love songs, throw your hands up. All right? Okay, come on. That's awesome. A lot of guys are like, not me, I listen to AC/DC. Listen. Listen. I think love songs are cool. They'll make you cry. Like, I know guys have cried at love songs when nobody else is around. You're the meaning in my life. You're the inspiration. There's a reason why I'm not a worship leader. Listen, Chicago back in the day. How many of you remember Chicago? Throw your hands up. Y'all all old people. Listen. How many of you remember Air Supply? You know what I'm talking about. Now, listen, here's what we're going to do. All right? We've got a few love songs picked out that we need everybody to join in with. If you do not sing along, it's going to go over like a pregnant pole vaulter. Now, I'll be honest with you. I don't know hardly any of the, I've tried this. I listen to the words, to the beat. I don't really listen to the words. And so I'm going to mutter while we sing, but that's why I need you singing for me, okay? So we're going to sing. Listen, they're all from different generations. So we're going to pick out which generation you're from, okay? So, hey, why don't you go ahead back here and go ahead. Now, you got to sing with us now. Let's go. Let's hit this hard. You got to do it loud. What you got? Throw it, hit it for us. Come on now. Come on. Come on. You can do it. Keep singing. Come on. You're doing good. Oh, y'all sound like a choir. Come on. Some of y'all are like, are y'all playing secular music in church? Yeah, you bunch of sinners. Every one of you sang it out loud just now. Because you love, love. What's the next one? Another generation? Let's see what we got here. Uh-oh. Come on, where's my younger generation? I can just dance a little bit. I can't dance good. I dance like a one-legged albatross. Come on. Come on. Here we go. Come on. Come on. We got no one? Hit it, baby. What you got? Yeah. Oh, my goodness. Oh. We're going from dream come true. Yeah. I'm pointing. My wife's over there somewhere. Oh. That's. Oh, listen, there's about four of y'all that knew that one time, and they're right here. I don't know who y'all are. We're going to get y'all to be the next boy band. All right, listen. And also, there are guys in this room. This is killing. This is so awkward. Like, oh, my gosh, I didn't know this was happening. I'm looking at your face. I can see you. Other people can't, so it's all good. I got you. I think we got another. One? Sling it out there. What you got? Okay, there's nothing there. Oh. Okay. Come on. Come on. Sing it to the person next to you, especially if you love them. Sing it to them. Sing it to them. Come on. And I'll be. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Golly, y'all are good. Come on. I'm shedding a tear up here. Listen. All right, we got one with a video. This is 1980s. And it is cheesy, but everybody knows it. All right, check it out. What we got? Oh, yeah. Come on. It's a nice striped polo that guy's got on. And he looks like Prince Harry a little bit. That's kind of weird. Well, there's no meaning to that. I just want to get you in the mood to talk about love, all right? So hopefully, listen, y'all all knew, though. That fired me up that y'all knew those songs. So let's talk a little bit about dating and relationships. This is what the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2. Verse 10, okay? This is for everybody, but I really need my single folks in the house listening today. It says Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. It says, for we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. You know, the one thing I need you to pick up out of this verse more than anything else is that you are a masterpiece. I don't know if you understand that, but God has created you and designed you as his masterpiece. I didn't make that up. The Bible says it, so it's truth, and God is speaking that over you. Listen, I need you to see the big picture. God spent time creating you on purpose, with purpose, and for a purpose. And if you feel like you don't have a purpose, your purpose is only found in God, and that's a whole nother message for another day. Now, I want you to see how special you are in the eyes of God, male and female. Listen, God said, let there be to everything else in all of creation, but he put his hands on you and molded you. He knitted you in your mother's womb, what the Bible says in Psalm 139. So for God to put his hands on you means that he's got his fingerprints on you and that you are his masterpiece. You are fashioned, he has fashioned you into the masterpiece that you are. You are unique. There is no one else like you. There's nobody else that's got fingerprints like you. Your DNA is different than everybody that's ever been and anybody else that will ever come. Your DNA is different. Why? Because God is a personal God and he calls you his masterpiece. There will never be anyone like you, nor has there ever been anyone like you. Never will be, never has been, and never will be anyone like you, which should honestly help you see the big picture. That's why it's so important that you don't get your identity caught up in what people think about you on this earth. You need to get your identity caught up in who God says you are in heaven, which he says you are his masterpiece. And focus on that and move in that. So as we see our friends date a lot of times, it's amazing for all the people in the room who are single. It's amazing how many people feel as if they are not enough as themselves. That they feel as if we are not enough as ourselves. And what happens is when we begin to compare ourselves to other people and don't see ourselves as the masterpiece of God, we begin to complain about the pieces the master didn't give us. Do you know that? You know, anytime you look in the mirror and you begin to degrade yourself about the way you look, you're degrading the creation of God. And honestly, you're listening to the lies of the enemy. Because the Bible says very plainly that everything that God has created in the area of humans, in the area of people that's created in his image is beautiful. It's beautiful. And so there should never be a time that we look in the mirror and we're not satisfied with who God's created us to be. What the world begins to do, because we begin to compare ourselves, especially singles. Listen, married people do this also. That's why I hate social media, because it's a comparing machine. It's amazing how many people will look at other people and they start looking at the other pieces that the master gave other people but didn't give you. You start thinking like, I'm not skinny enough. I'm not funny enough. I'm not pretty enough. I'm not athletic enough. And you begin to honestly complain when in reality, God created you the way he wanted you. You know, I tell you what's even crazier is that for those in this room, which is probably a lot of people who do that, for those in this room who have done that in yourself because you're looking at other people, there's a great possibility that other people are looking at you saying the same thing. She's prettier than me, or he's more athletic than me. You know why? Because we all do it. It all happens. And what I would say is stop complaining about the pieces the master didn't give you and start worshiping because you as yourself are a masterpiece. Did you hear me? I'm gonna say it again just in case you didn't. Stop complaining about the pieces the master didn't give you and start worshiping because you as yourself are a masterpiece. Men, boys, guys, fellas, she's a masterpiece. The girl that you're going to date one day or the girl you're dating now, she is a masterpiece that God has created. God has a plan for her life. The girl that you're dating or the girl that you will one day date, God has a plan for her life. And you need to do everything you can to make sure, listen to me, that you are protecting the plan and nurturing her in such a way that the plan comes to pass. You got a responsibility. You got a responsibility that the girl that you're sitting next to, men, or the girl that you're going to one day date, honestly, that God uses you to call the dreams that God has placed in her heart, call them out so that she can live out her full purpose in who God's called her to be. Ladies, he is a masterpiece and God has a plan for him. Make sure you're protecting and nurturing that plan so it will come to pass. In the same way, both of us should be looking out for each other, both male and female, whether you're dating now or one day date. That my goal is to be selfless, and I want to see you succeed in the kingdom of God as much as I want to succeed. And so I'm going to do everything I can to call out and honestly help you live out the plan that God has for you. It's a high calling. We're going to come back to some of that in just a minute. This is what Proverbs 18:22 says. It says, he who finds a wife finds a good thing. He who finds a wife finds a good thing, or he who finds a spouse. Why do I say spouse? Because God created marriage. It's his idea. We'll talk about that in the next couple of weeks or so. He who finds a wife finds a good thing. So when it talks about he who finds, means that they are seeking and they are pursuing. There's nothing wrong with seeking and pursuing a spouse. Now listen, there's not very much in the scripture that helps us relate to American dating. We can learn some principles, because back in that day, the dads went out and found, honestly, the wife for the husband, for the son. Now, how many ladies in the house would like it for your dad to go find your man? Throw your hands up. Not very many. I want my own choice on that, Dad. I don't think I want that to happen. So there's not that much in there, but we could talk about godly dating. All right? We could talk about that today. And so he who finds a wife, I have found a beautiful wife. All right? She is a graceful doe, as Solomon says. She might take offense to that, but I've asked her, hey, Leah, where you is? Come here. All right, here comes. Will y'all give it up for my beautiful wife? Come on, come on. Come on. Now I have found a beautiful wife. I went looking 17 and a half years ago, or almost 18 years. Is that right?
20 years ago.
Well, you're talking about, wait, she's adding our dating years in now. I'm talking about marriage. Like, yeah. My dad went and found her and brought her to me. I was like, thanks, Dad, you're awesome. We're doing it like the Old Testament, boy. I'm just kidding. Listen. And so I met Leah in Sunday school. I was her Sunday school teacher. And so, you can't say these things these days. But I didn't start dating her until after she graduated.
The next day.
So, but here's what happened was, honestly, she used to hang out with the singles. I was in the singles ministry, and I helped teach in the student ministry back in that time. And I was working for Coca-Cola then too, wasn't I? Yeah, she saw how miserable I was. And so she basically hung out with the singles because she was a lot more mature than me and everybody else. And I'm 8.5 years older than her. She was saying yes, sir, to me for a while because she had to respect her elders. I'm just kidding. That was stupid.
No,
listen.
No, I never did that.
And so... And so, there was one time we went, the singles got together and said, hey, we're all going to go to the lake and hang out. And she was actually wanting me to set her up with another dude.
That's how we first started talking.
She wanted me to set her up with another dude in our singles ministry.
I was trying to get him to fix me up with somebody else.
Yeah, and this dude was a cat. He was a cat. I mean, he's not now, but he was. All right, so anyway. I really don't know. I ain't seen the cat in a long time. So anyway, so we go to the lake, and because we're supposed to meet a bunch of other singles there. So she rides with me to the lake to meet a bunch of other singles. So we sit out in the moonlight out on the dock. It was a moon. Waiting for everybody to get there. And so basically we had great conversation. I remember this might sound awkward. Hope it don't. We're married now, so it don't really matter. I remember she was hot. Like she was Miss GHS Who's Who, best looking 1998, baby. And she was good looking, right?
Yeah.
And still is. Look at her. Look, you know what I remember? I remember she had this, it was a velvet suit of some sort that I can still remember too. Was it velvet?
It's velour.
Oh.
Velour.
Okay. Well, anyway, from that night on, we went on our first date and went to watch some cartoon movie.
Yeah.
What was the name of that movie?
Quest for Camelot. You should remember that.
No, I don't remember because we wasn't watching the movie. I'm just kidding. We watched every minute of it. So,
Avery,
so
we will not do that.
Yeah, so we were in love. You know, when you're in love, you do sappy things. What were some of the do you remember any of the sappy things that I did?
Yes, you were talking about songs earlier about who has what song and if you have a couple song or whatnot. And one of our There was one particular time I came home. I was at college and I came home.
She went to Alabama, University of Alabama.
Yes. And yeah.
She came home quick. She went one semester. She
came
home
semester.
For,
I got home
for Papa. That didn't sound right. That didn't sound right at all. I didn't mean it that way. Like, we keeping it good?
My face is so red.
I'm sorry.
But anyway.
You like a bobber. Face is red. Anyway, that didn't sound right either. Go ahead.
So anyway, I came home and Andy was trying to be romantic because he's really romantic. And he had a poster board set out on a folding chair for me in his living room.
And I wrote on it.
He did write on it. I don't know if it said I love you or something. And then he had a rose laying in the chair and he had a little boombox sitting beside
him. That's what we did in the 90s, boomboxes. Anybody remember boomboxes? All right, that's what we did. We don't have Alexa these days.
Playing a song. Not only was it just playing the song, but it was Andy singing the song to me.
I made it at Six Flags. It was Randy Travis, Forever and Ever. Forever and Ever. You remember that?
It was Our Love is Deeper Than the Holler.
Oh, that's right. Hold my bad. It wasn't. I missed that too.
He doesn't even know it.
Our love is deeper than the holler. All right, we got it.
So anyway, you know, that was just one memory I've got of him being super romantic for me. So
I still do it today. I still do it today. Well, one thing I want you to know is that you was my Valentine's then, and you're still my Valentine's today. So I want to come on. Look at here. Look here. My heart is still deeper than the holler. All right? Your favorite. There's some kudzu in there somewhere. Love you. All right, come on, give it up for my beautiful wife. Leah, come here. I meant to tell y'all, this is the main part I wanted to say, I forgot. Listen, some of the characteristics that I saw about her that really attracted me more than anything else was, number one, she was absolutely gorgeous and still is absolutely gorgeous. But number two was, she was incredibly steady with Jesus. And because of her walk with God, that was what made her even more beautiful than the way God created her looks. She just absolutely in love with you. What are some things, characteristics that you saw about me?
How romantic you were. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, she just said she's kidding. That's mean.
How good you can sing. No.
Okay.
No, the things, I guess, that attracted me to Andy, or the things that I fell in love with, were just his leadership abilities. He's always been the center of attention, whether...
That makes me sound arrogant.
No, but not meaning to, either not meaning to, or, you know, just...
Okay.
Just, you know, you lead the room. So it's just a leadership capability.
Okay.
Anyway, and, you know, his walk with the Lord. He was starting ministry when we first started dating, and so, you know, with our age gap, you know, that made it a little bit easier for my parents to be okay with. So
that's right.
The fact he was going into ministry, but
that's right. But, yeah, we're like this
his
now.
His love for the Lord and his dashing good looks.
She felt like she had. I was just fixed to say, because she didn't say one thing about looking good. So all the ugly guys in the house, you have hope. Walk with Jesus. The anointing, the Shekinah glory will come over, and you'll find a hot chick one day, okay? Because there's no hope. There's no hope not unless you walk with Jesus. Love you. Okay, thank you. All right, I got to hurry. Listen, so when you find a wife, find a spouse, it is a good thing. So listen, I want to tell all my single ladies. Let's start with the ladies first, and guys also. But listen, you're in a very special season of your life being single. Now, a lot of you might be like, I don't feel very special right now. I'll be honest with you. We, as people who are married, a lot of times make single folks feel almost less than, because we're always trying to get them married off. We're like, hey, I can't believe you're like 19 and still single. Like, what's wrong with you? You know, like the big picture is there's a lot of times that we're always trying to push people to get married. Like if you're not married, then you're a loser. When in reality, in your singleness, you got a great season that you can do a lot of great things for Jesus. To where I just can't pick up and trek off on a summer mission trip to wherever I want to go because I have a wife and kids. You can. You could go and do something like that. There's a lot of, you got more time now as single to spend more time with Jesus than somebody who has responsibilities of a family and a 40-hour job, which a lot of you singles have 40-hour jobs also. I'm not trying to let go of that either. But the thing about it is you still have an opportunity. You have a season in your life right now to grow spiritually. So it's a big thing. It's a good thing. So here's what I want to do, ladies. I want to do everything I can to start with you, and I want to help you change your thinking about dating with men, all right? So during this time, when you're not married, don't live your life and having your happiness dictated by whether you're in a relationship or not. Guys and girls need to hear me on that. It's amazing how many people dictate their happiness as if they're in a relationship or if they're not. Because the big picture is, a lot of times being in a relationship will make you more miserable than it will. That's why it's important that you find the right person. You know, I think it's crazy. People dictating their happiness, whether they're in a relationship or not. It's amazing. You know, my daughter's in junior high. She's in eighth grade. And it's amazing how many junior high kids are in relationships. And they feel less than if they're not in one. Even all the way down to junior high, high school especially. All the way up into college. And listen, if you're in a relationship, I'm not trying to kill you and tell you need to break up with them now, bless God. I'm not saying anything like that. But what I will say is this. I remember I really didn't have my first steady relationship until I was a senior in high school. And I look back on it in my first 2 years of college. And I look back on it now and I start realizing like, oh my gosh, that was such a prime time of my life that I lost. I lost my whole senior year because it was wrapped up in a relationship. I lost my first 2 years of college, which are some of I'll never be a senior in high school again. I'll never be a freshman and a sophomore in college ever again. And listen, I was wrapped up into something that was honestly was more of a stronghold more than it was anything else. And so, listen, if you're a senior in your date, I'm not trying to tell you to break up with a person right now, but I am saying this. Don't miss out on your life. You're only a senior once. You're only in college once. Enjoy your life. Come on, that's a seasoned senior right there. She knows what she's talking about. We need to let her come up here and preach. Listen, you need to do everything you can to not be so obsessed with being discovered by a man, but being developed by God into the woman and the wife that he has created you to be, so that when Mr. Right comes along, you'll be everything God desires you to be in that moment. I want to say it again. You need to take this time, not being so obsessed with being discovered by a man, but being developed by God into the woman of God God's called you to be. That's so large. Because here's what happens. A woman of God, you need to be a woman of God who pursues Jesus with everything you have, a woman who lives a life marked by prayer, community, and serving, instead of focusing on finding Mr. Right. Because what happens is, instead of focusing on finding Mr. Right, you need to become Mrs. Right, and guess what will happen? Mr. Right will find you. You hear me? I want to say it again. Instead of focusing on finding Mr. Right, become Mrs. Right, and Mr. Right will find you. Hey, listen, if you're here today and your whole goal is I got to find Mr. Right instead of being developed into Mrs. Right, but your whole goal is I want to find Mr. Right, guess what's going to happen? Great possibility when you get married, you're going to be thinking like, ruh-roh, he is not Mr. Right. He is actually Mr. Wrong. And then all of a sudden, in the middle of your marriage, Mr. Right, who you think is Mr. Right, is going to come along and you're going to jack something up. It's going to be dangerous. You can't be looking for Mr. Right. You need to be, men, you need to be developed. You need to be developing yourself into Mr. Right and let Mrs. Right find you. And ladies, you need to be developing yourself into Mrs. Right so Mr. Right can find you. Does that make sense? There's a lot of stuff there. It's not like Dr. Seuss talking to you. Come on. Talk to me, baby. Come on. I got babies. Listen. I got babies. They're 14 and 11. So anyway, ladies, you need to realize who you are. Allow the Holy Spirit to have his way in your life today and step into the identity that God has created you to be. And at the end of the day, you'll want a husband, when you start developing into who God's called you to be, you'll want a husband that is in love with you, not the person you're projecting to be. You know, a lot of times, guys and girls, they try way too hard to attract the opposite sex. Sometimes it's with what we wear. Sometimes it's with the muscles we put on. And there's nothing wrong with working out. That's not what I'm saying. But the big picture is what should attract the opposite sex to you prayerfully would be the Jesus inside of you that's flowing out. There's something powerful about Jesus in you that flows out that attracts the opposite sex. It's attracting when it's right, when it's not legalistic, self-righteous, and mean. Listen, ladies and gents, all right? But I want to talk to the ladies real quick. And guys can take this also. Don't let loneliness speak louder than the Spirit of God. Don't let your loneliness speak louder than the Spirit of God. Well, I guess what I'm saying is more than anything else is don't settle for just any Joe Blow that comes along because you're lonely. I want you to hear me. The greatest decision you'll ever make in your life is your relationship with Jesus Christ. And I'm prayerfully and hopefully praying that there are people in this room that's never given their life to Christ. And today you'll give your life to Christ and you'll understand that you are a masterpiece in His eyes, that you'll give your life to Him because that's the number one decision you'll ever make in your entire life. I personally believe that the second most important decision that you'll ever make in your entire life is who you marry. You know why? Because you got to live with them the rest of your life. And you're making a covenant before God that this is who I'm going to be with the rest of my life. I hope that there's a great possibility. There are couples in this room dating and they are so uncomfortable right now. Like, oh, dear Lord, let's please get this over with. Golden Corral is calling. I got to get out. Listen. And what happens is a lot of times guys and girls, they get what they think is lonely. And I think it's a lie of the enemy. They get lonely and they'll start going after anybody that calls themselves a believer, anybody that calls themselves Christians. You know, in Alabama, everybody's a Christian. Just ask them. I tell people all the time, you got to get people lost before you get them saved in Alabama because everybody's saved. And it's amazing what will happen, girls, if they know that you're looking for a godly guy, how out of the blue, all of a sudden, they become Billy Graham overnight because they think you're hot and they want to date with you. Oh, girl, let me tell you something, man. I was reading some Deuteronomy last night. Oh, man. Chapter 6 just got me right here. Right here. Listen, I worked in it for 5 to 6 years, and it's amazing. The number one thing that will draw people who are pursuing and chasing after Jesus harder than anything else, the number one thing that will draw them away from God quicker than anything else is honestly a dating relationship. Now, once again, I'm not saying dating is wrong and it's evil. I'm not saying that. But what I am saying is this. If both of them aren't pursuing God, it could be toxic. And here's what happens. Because I saw this happen on a radio station. Somebody turned on to Jesus. They're desperate. They're lonely. They're looking for somebody. This good old boy comes along that says, you know, hey, I'm a Christian. And they're like, well, hey, he's a Christian. And they'll come to me for the first 3 or 4 weeks. I'm like, man, we prayed on the phone. We talked on the phone for hours for about the Bible and about God. And, man, it was just absolutely incredible. Oh, he's just awesome. And I'm sitting there thinking, like, have you seen the fruit yet? Are you just going off of what he said, or have you seen the fruit? Because what I learned over the years, over and over and over and over and over and over and over again, because I worked in it for so long, is that eventually this guy or this girl, it happens both ways, were so wise that they played the spiritual card until they realized they had them hooked. I got them now. Now I got their heart. And the next thing you know, they're completely out of church within months, completely away from God because our heart got wrapped up. And it's a dangerous thing. It's really, really, really dangerous. Listen, men and women, ladies, before you go out with anybody, you need to see the fruit. You need to be a fruit inspector and see that, man, they're not that they say they're a believer, but they live out what they say. I'm a follower of Jesus. Okay, prove it. Not, you'll say that loud. You and God have conversations about God. I'm going to make sure that this person is walking with you. And I want to see the fruit. And then I can say yes to a date. Because then you know what you're getting. Now, look, I know that might be a little crazy for some of you, but once again, some of you are like, I mean, he's going a little overboard tonight. No, I'm not. No, I'm not, because single people most of the time do not understand the blood, sweat, and tears it takes to make marriage work. And if you don't marry your best friend, and you don't marry somebody that walks with Jesus, it's going to make it that much harder. Hey, listen, both parties walking with Jesus still makes it difficult because we're selfish beings. That's why it's so important that we die to self. Let Jesus work in us so that we can, listen, I'm going to say this in the next few weeks, you're going to hear it again. I personally believe that God's got a sense of humor that he takes women and men who are totally, completely opposite of each other. One is Jupiter and one is Mars. I mean, like, completely opposite of each other. And then he says, I'm going to let y'all live together for life, and now you got to get along. I think God's greatest desire to make us more like Jesus is marriage. It's his plan. You know what his plan was? His plan was, yes, I'm going to help them enjoy marriage sometimes. But in the process, I'm going to make them more like me. I'm going to make them more like me. Because that's where the fruit comes in. That's where life really begins to take place. When you can learn how to lay your life down for your spouse, it's amazing things that happen. We'll talk about that another day, all right? So let's talk about fellas in the house, just real quick, all right? Men, pursue a woman like Christ pursues us. Pursue a woman like Christ pursues us. Listen, it's not hard-nosed. Hey, woman, marry me, all right? That's not what it is. It's the kindness of God that leads us to repentance. In other words, the same way that God pursues us in kindness is the same way we should pursue who we feel like would one day be our bride. And husbands and wives, you should be pursuing your wife in kindness. And women, you should be pursuing your husband in kindness. Respectful, gentle. Ephesians 5:25 says, for husbands, this means love your wives just as Christ loved the church. He gave his life up for her. In other words, you lay your life down for the one that you love. You know, one thing that I forgot to say just a minute ago, I'm gonna go backwards for just a half a second. Talking about settling. For anybody that's ever heard my testimony, which is probably everybody because I talk about it all the time, I got saved at the age of 24, radically saved. I've told y'all before that I used to go to clubs on Friday and Saturday night. And then if you've ever listened to my testimony, I told you I went to church for the wrong reasons. I went to church on Sundays looking for a good church girl. And I've always said, hey, don't ever get mad at people for going to church for the wrong reasons because I got saved going to church for the wrong reasons. But here's what I need you to catch. I want you to listen to me. Going back to those who are settling. I went to the clubs on Friday and Saturday night looking for a good time. I wasn't looking for a wife. I went to church on Sundays looking for a wife because I knew they were prayerfully better than what I found in the club. If you're here and you're desperate enough to go find somebody from the opposite sex and you go into clubs to go find them, probably not going to turn out very great. Now listen, if you're here and you met your loved one in a club, thank you, Jesus, that yours worked out, and I'm glad God's moving in your life doing something special. But when I was going to clubs, I went on every Friday and Saturday night. I wasn't going to the club to find a wife. I was going looking for a good time. And then I go get dressed up on Sundays and go, because I was a single man, getting old, biological clock ticking now. I got to go find somebody. I'm living out Proverbs 18. So don't settle. Don't settle. God will bring them to you. Let's move on. All right, get back to where we were. Listen, men, you got to see her as Jesus sees her. Pursue her the way Jesus pursues her. See her as a daughter of the God you serve. The woman, guys, if you're dating, the girl sitting beside you or guys that's going to date one day, the girl sitting beside you, you need to look at her as the daughter of the King. The daughter of God. She's special to him, and you treat her as God's daughter. And then on the flip side, let me just give you another aspect to it. She's also somebody's physical daughter. I wish that I could go back in time before I ever gave my life to Jesus Christ and I could change the way I live my life. Because now that I have a daughter, I know what it feels like to be freaked out, worried that some fork-tongued devil gonna come and talk little whisper sweet nothings in her ear. And I talk to her all the time. I'm like, Avery, watch out for the fork-tongued devil. They're the angel of light. They look great. Be careful. And if you don't see him, I will with a right hand of fellowship. Just kidding. I'm about to get mad. I'm about to get me fired up. Listen. you gotta be careful. So anyway, we're gonna move on. Listen, honor her. Be men of God. Single men, be men of God now. Yeah. Give your whole life to Jesus now. And when you give your whole life to Jesus, you'll give your whole life to her. Yeah. Ladies want a leader. They want somebody who's going to be a leader. And leaders are the ones that lead for Jesus. Fall in love with Jesus. Jesus will make you a leader for your family, for the girl that you're dating. And she will fall in love with you for leading her, because every woman wants a leader, in my opinion. Now, there might be some ladies out here that disagree with that. I disagree with you. I think everybody's looking for somebody to lead them. You need to live a life marked by prayer, community, and serving. You know, A.R. Bernard said in his book that there are four things women look for in a man. This is a book that he wrote. He's a special, he does this, this is what he lives for. Here's what he said, four things women look for in a man: strength, maturity, decisiveness, and consistency. Did you know that these four things are the four things people look for in a leader, and it's the same four things that God exemplifies? Strength, maturity, decisiveness, and consistency. It's also a place, really, where men are most attacked by the enemy. Because the last thing that the enemy wants for men to ever do is to ever understand what it means to truly lead. Lead their wives, lead their families, lead in the church, lead in their communities, lead in their job places. He don't like it when we lead for the kingdom of God. Listen, maturity. Maturity doesn't come with age. It's an acceptance of responsibility. Maturity. Ladies, let me give you a hint. Make sure that whoever you're looking for, whatever guy you're going out with, passes the J test. Do you know what the J test is? That he loves Jesus and has a job, all right? That's the J test, maturity. That he loves Jesus and have a job. Now listen, if he loves Jesus and the end of his fingers are orange because he's down in his mama's basement playing Atari 24/7, then there's a great possibility he is not for yet. I don't care how much he loves Jesus, he needs a job. You need a mature man, all right? He needs Jesus and a job. Listen, I want you to hear me. Adam had his work before he had his wife in Genesis. In Genesis, Adam had his work before he had his wife. That's a big deal. Strength, maturity, strength. Strength is this. Genuine strength is a matter of integrity, not physicality. Strength is a matter of integrity, not physicality. Do you have the strength to do what's right even when you don't want to? That's what strength looks like. Consistency. Consistency requires congruence between your values and our actions. We keep our word. We are committed. We have character. Who are you in secret? When nobody else is looking, who are you? That's a big deal. Decisiveness. Maturity, strength, consistency, and decisiveness. A man who honors God privately will show it by making good decisions publicly. Now listen, there are guys in this room and there's women in this room that honors God privately, and you've still made bad decisions, but it's going to happen less frequent. I promise you. Even in difficulties and temptations, we choose the hard but right decisions. So ladies, as you pursue Jesus, you'll begin to see these qualities, and these qualities will become your attraction in these men. They're pursuing God, and you're attracted to the Jesus inside of them more than you are their looks. Listen, maybe you're here today and you're totally the opposite. Maybe you're in a relationship and it's not really a God-honoring relationship. Maybe there's lots of drama. Maybe it's toxic and all you do is fight. You're texting 24/7 back and forth. Where are you? Who are you with? I'm FaceTiming you right now and you're going to show me everybody in that room. We're going to love. Some of y'all are laughing because you know, like, oh dear Lord Jesus, that's me. Why do you want to be in something like that for the rest of your life? Maybe you're having sex in dating relationships. You know, God created sex only for the marriage bed. Some of you can disagree with that all day long. I know we live in a different time and day. But here's the big picture. It's not the way God created it. See, the world will tell you how great and wonderful and awesome sex is, but they won't tell you all the repercussions that come with it. They won't tell you the shame, the guilt, the condemnation, the consequences. They won't tell you all that stuff. The regret. They leave all that stuff. They just give you the sweet stuff. We'll come back. Maybe you can't stay committed in a relationship. Now, here, for everybody that maybe you're in a relationship like that, I want you to hear me. Look, I'm not here to condemn you. I'm not here to beat you up. I'm not here to, like, make, you know, get my stick out and just wear you out. That's not what I'm here for. I want to give you some good news if that's you. You're in a toxic relationship. Jesus is not in the business of fixing things, but making things new. He wants to make you new. It's what the blood of Christ does. He starts it with salvation, and he does it all through our life. God is a constant change agent. He constantly changes us to look more like him. Now, I believe there's a great possibility there are some couples here today that you know the best decision for both of you, honestly, is to break up. And I'll probably get emails this week, people throwing things at me like, what? Like, when we left that service, my boyfriend broke up with me, and it's your fault, Pastor. Maybe it's not. Maybe God's got a plan, and you don't see it yet. You know, I'll be honest with you. If something happens and you break up, even it's going to be painful. It's incredibly painful. I say I'm making people uncomfortable right now. Like, people are freaking out. It is painful. You know, I tell everybody. Since I worked in singles ministry, and I may be wrong about this. This is just my two cents. I think probably the toughest pain in life is death. No doubt, death of a loved one, death of somebody that's close to you. I think the second toughest pain on earth, just about. Probably is divorce. It's almost like death, period. And then the third thing, and I just believe this, is because I worked in singles ministry, somebody has dated somebody for a long time and they break up. It's incredibly painful. But in the long run, you can't see the big picture. You can't see down the road, and God may have something else designed for both of you. In the moment, you can't see it. Listen, if both of you are lifeless and miserable trying to make something work that has it, it's okay to part ways. It's okay to part ways. Listen, so if you're here and you're trying to make your dating life better, let me give you a few things that God can make your dating life new in. All right, let's just say you've jacked up, it's messed up, and I want to make my dating life new. Maybe you don't have anybody you're dating right now. Here's what I say. Number one, I say confess. It says in 1 John 1:9, but if we confess our sins to him, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all wickedness. He makes things new. So if you've made mistakes, there's nothing you can do to go back and, you can't get a time machine and just change it. What you can do is go to Jesus, who can change that and make you new. You can walk in forgiveness. I messed up, I screwed up, and from here on out, I'm going with Christ and he's gonna make things new. God, I've been dating all wrong and doing relationships all wrong, and I'm tired of doing dating my way. My way doesn't work. So God, I wanna do it your way. I just confess that to you. I wanna do it your way. The second thing I say is make Jesus the center of your relationship. Not the other person, make Jesus the center. And when Jesus is the center, the other person becomes a lot more pleasing to be around. You do small groups, do life with each other, do life with other people, quit spending every hour with each other, serve with each other, pray together. Listen, it's amazing how many relationships, honestly, are like blood-sucking ticks. They just suck the life out of you. That's miserable. That's why you need to, listen, if you're here today and you're so controlling that you won't let your man and you won't let your girl go off and do something, that's not a relationship you probably need to be in. If you can't trust them to go and hang out, why in the world do you want to marry them? Third thing I say is commit. Love is not a feeling. It's a commitment. It's amazing how many people try to live by the fairy tale Hollywood story, but very few people understand what true love is. True love is commitment. If you're committed when you're dating, it will be difficult for you to be committed. If you aren't committed when you're dating, it will be difficult for you to be committed when you are married. Listen, don't date 500 different people. commit to one, and if that doesn't work out, don't jump into the next thing. Go hang out with your friends, and don't make the other person feel bad when they do. Learn to trust each other. Listen, commitment is vital. It's huge. Don't suck the life out of each other. Let them have a life outside of you. Protect each other's purity. Fourth and last thing, protect each other's purity. Listen, this is going to be awkward for anybody who's got kids in here. I'm not going to go into a lot of detail. But sex wasn't created by the enemy. It was created by God. Sex was not created by the enemy. It was created by God. It is powerful. It is spiritual. And it's the most intimate thing you could do with somebody. And God gave it to us as a gift inside the confines of a married bed. That's it. Inside the confines of marriage. That's the way God created it. Now, what I've learned in being in church all my entire life is a lot of us have ever heard is like, sex is evil, sex is bad, stay away from sex, sex is not good, stay away, sex is bad, sex is bad. But God created sex. How do you think you got here? Listen, I will tell you, honestly, sex is good. I'll get emails for saying that, by the way. You shouldn't talk about that in church, bless God. Well, why not? God created it. And we need to talk about it in church because the world sure is talking about it. Come on. There's one person clapping. See, you can't email me because other people are on my side. But the thing about it is the enemy's perverted it. And I'll be honest with you, it's difficult. When you're dating, it's difficult to run from that kind of stuff. And here, hey, listen, once again, I'm not trying to heap condemnation on you if you failed in those areas. When singles say they're struggling with sex, what they're really struggling with is situations that they're putting themselves in that they can't handle. Don't get too comfortable and don't think you're above messing up sexually. I don't care how spiritual you are. Keep it vertical. No spoon hugging. Listen, moving on. Set boundaries. Be honest about the situations you can't handle. And times, listen, there's nothing good that happens after 12. What you doing out at 2 o'clock? A.M. So, I hear you back here, girl. I hear you. Listen, I want you to hear me. This is gigantic for everybody that's dating. Don't have it in your minds that marriage fixes all this stuff that we're talking about. In the area of arguing, drama, all that kind of stuff. Learn this now. You need to walk out of the jealousy and drama now. Walk out of the sexual sin now. Get in small groups now. Serve together now. Commit now. Make Jesus the center now. Marriage doesn't make these things easier. If you're here today, it's like, well, I bless God. I know we fight every single day and we just beat each other to shreds and we just don't ever really get along. But I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to get married and it's going to make everything better. Where's my married people at? Does it make it better? You say, y'all scared to just say something because your spouse is sitting right next to you. It doesn't make it better. It doesn't make it better. As a matter of fact, it complicates things. That's why I say this all the time. Who you marry needs to be your best friend. Marry your best friend. If you're constantly fighting, if you're constantly arguing, if you're constantly texting, if you're constantly jealous, if you're constantly envious, if you're constantly not being able to trust them, if you're constantly on top of them regularly, then why do you think marriage is going to make it any better? It's going to make it worse. That's toxic. It's not healthy. And it's keeping you from really pursuing God because you're so caught up in the other person. Listen, singles, date godly, chase the heart of God, and when you chase the heart of God, God will send Mr. Right and Mrs. Right chasing you. It's coming. For those in this room, not me, I'm telling you, it's not going to happen. If I can get married, anybody can get married. I promise you, it can happen, all right? I love you, all right? Let's turn the world upside down, singles. You got an opportunity to do great things. Let's pray. Father, we love you.